Hi, this is Dr. Trish Murray. I am a doctor of osteopathic medicine, and I've practiced for many years in the beautiful White Mountains of New Hampshire. My clinic is called Discover Health Functional Medicine Center. I originally trained in internal medicine, and I was a primary care internist after my residency. But actually, as I practiced as an internist, I realized that prescribing pill after pill for chronic diseases was really not helping people get better. It was not helping them restore their health. And so I went on to specialize in traditional osteopathy and essentially non-surgical orthopedics. So I became a pain specialist. But also over the years of practicing this, I've realized that the chronic toxicity, chronic inflammation, chronic hormonal imbalances, and chronic infections that people have seem to be the root cause of why they have chronic conditions in the first place. And so I learned of the Institute of Functional Medicine, and I've gone on to become a specialist in functional medicine. And it is practicing this specialty that has led me to doing these podcasts and my present mission of empowering you to restore and optimize your own health through education, community, and support. So if you like this talk and would like to learn more, please go to my website, discoverhealthfmc.com.
Welcome, everyone, to this podcast today. And I want to welcome to this podcast my good friends, Howard Stanton and Aaron Wright from Vanguard Coaching. Hi, guys.
Hi.
Hi, Trish. Great to be here.
Thanks so much for coming on the podcast with me.
Happy to be here.
Our pleasure.
Awesome. So, you know, folks, we've talked before, and you do a couples coaching is what I understand, correct?
Correct.
And couple coaching couples.
Awesome. And the title we've come up with for today is Relationships Matter. And I just love that title because it's so important for people to understand. And it is something we really haven't talked about in detail on this podcast yet. And it's so involved in health. And I think you guys are going to be bringing that out.
We are, certainly. Yeah.
That's awesome. So the first question I like to ask my guests is, what brought you to what you're doing? Because we all have obviously our lives and our past and our path to where we are today.
Yeah.
So what brought you folks to doing couples coaching?
I guess I'll lead on that one because I stepped into the arena first. I was working as a nurse in a home care and hospice agency as their clinical director, and was introduced to a coaching model of care for people with chronic diseases. And fell so in love with the coaching model of care that broke down hierarchy with patients and really was trained us to meet people where they were at, that I said, I want more of that. I don't want to give that up, and I don't want to focus just here. So I went to training for a year to the Coach Training Institute and became a certified professional coach at the Coach Training Institute. And when Howard saw the changes that were going on with me, during that year, he said, "What's
going
on
over
there? I want some of what's going on over there." So he decided to go to school and become a certified professional coach, and here we are.
And so, all the while during this, we're serial entrepreneurs. So we opened up the Met Coffee House and Good Vibes Coffee Roasters, and I started asking the question, "What is it that I really love about being a small business owner?" And at the time, the answer was, I really love working with my team and developing people and helping them to achieve their goals and dreams while they're working for me. It was really fun. And it also helped us to have a really high retention rate in our small businesses. And as I started going through coaching school, kind of following Aaron along, I realized that we had been doing a lot of this coaching in our businesses without really knowing it. And really, coaching in its essence is about empowering people and tuning people into the answers they have to their challenges that they already have inside them, but they're just not maybe fully aware of yet. So it's not really telling people what to do. It's It's working with perspectives, it's working with limiting beliefs, and it's a process that gets people in touch with their own wisdom. And it's really an honor to witness mm-hmm. the changes and the transformation that happens when people feel more authentically connected to themselves.
Well, that's awesome. To really help people kind of look in the mirror and also try and find where their answers lie within them.
Exactly.
Yes.
That's
a great metaphor.
Help them align with their values is a really important part of the work that we're doing.
Yeah. Well, that's great. Yeah. Now, what you mentioned the Coach Training Institute. Mm. What is that?
Yeah. That's an organization that's been around since the mid-90s. And actually, the founders were one of the first folks really in the world to they invented coaching, so to speak, as something that wasn't therapy and that wasn't consulting. And they have now, I just saw a statistic, they have trained over half the coaches in the world right now. And it's a rigorous 2-year program, and it's highly experiential. So we learn by doing. We learn through our own personal growth in the program, because we have to work on our own stuff if we're going to work with other people. And it was not only a way to get into a profession that we both have come to love, it was a way to really grow personally as well, individually and together.
Yeah, there's a wonderful thing within shamanic healing that I do called As Within, So Without. Mm-hmm. And the concept that you cannot be a help to others unless you've gone through the path, and we're all wounded healers. So this concept that, you know, you learn from experiential doing.
Yes.
And your own growth.
Yes.
And so, and there's a thought concept within the counseling world that you can only counsel people to the level at which you are health, you know, psychiatrically, if you will, healthy. So you want to go to the most healthy person you can, and the person that's constantly working on themselves.
Sure.
So that's awesome for people to know and for people to understand that we all are working on ourselves. We came here and into these bodies to learn and to experience and to grow.
Yeah.
So that's awesome.
Yeah.
So you mentioned that coaching versus counseling versus therapy.
Yeah.
And so what is couples coaching, and how is it different from marriage counseling?
Couples coaching focuses on what's here right now, what's going on with this couple and this relationship really right now, and where do you want to go? Where therapy or counseling really is in the, works in the medical model, and sort of a what's broke and how are we going to fix it? Right. Mm. And so it spends a lot of time in the past and gets to what's here right now. We're oftentimes very disinterested in what's going on in the past and very interested in just what's here right now. Where do you want to be? All right, let's point us there and go.
And just to put it into a really specific context, Erin and I will work with couples who know that they're committed to the relationship, that they're in love with each other. And they just feel stuck. They feel like they want something more out of their relationship. They feel like there's something missing. They feel like the relationship might be good, and they want it to be awesome.
Great.
Right.
Right. And so we are not therapists. We respect therapy. I've been in therapy before. I know what it's about. I know it has its use. It's a different thing. That's all we're saying. We're not therapists. And so if you can think of that kind of that model, like good to great, is really the sweet spot of the work that we do. And we believe, like in this, the name of this podcast is Relationships Matter. We really believe that everybody should have a great relationship. Mm-hmm. Why not? We're spending our lives together.
Absolutely.
We
spend, and it's couples relationships, of course, but it's also, I'm sure it, the concepts that you work with people on obviously must work with any relationship in a way.
We actually didn't start out working with couples. We started out working with individuals and teams. And then ultimately that we're working on relationships all the time in the work that we do.
Yeah, so we've done a lot of work inside of organizations, and we still do actually. And with executives and emerging leaders. And we realized that really what our sweet spot is, we're always working on relationships, even in the business world.
Right.
You know, it's about, you know, how do I be a better leader? Well, that's about relationships, really, if you get down to it. So,
absolutely.
Yeah.
Yeah. All right. Well, what do you believe is important to a healthy, fulfilling relationship?
There are so many things. I think one thing that I want to mention is that there's this thing called a relationship.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
There's me and this Aaron. And then there's a third thing. There's a third entity, and that's a relationship. And it's when Aaron and I come together as a couple in deep connection and produce something that's more than either, you hear that expression, more than the sum of the parts.
Mm-hmm.
That's what a relationship is. And for couples, what's important here is for couples to realize that there's this thing called the relationship, and it needs to be attended to be nurtured. It needs to be fed. And that's more than just me doing what's in my interest or Aaron doing what's in her interest. It means asking the question, what does our relationship want right now? What does our relationship need?
There's an intentionality about paying attention to the relationship, right? So I can pay attention to Howard and he can pay attention to me. But when we, you know, change that up and we pay attention to the relationship and we start asking ourselves, what does the relationship need right here, right now? That's different. And we find that third entity to be transformational for the couples that we work with.
Yeah. And it's about not taking that for granted.
Mm-hmm. Right.
It's about not taking that for granted, because if you do, it will die.
Now, so with this idea of, you know, we can ask a question, you know, of a couple or of a person, and the idea of, like you say, focus on the relationship and nurture and attend to it. What would be like the top three methods or three suggestions you would give a couple to, if they're like, well, what do you mean? how do we attend and nurture it? Like, what experiential suggestions or recommendations would you give to
them? It's a great question, because it's not something that's easily understood in the head when you say that.
Right.
Some people get it right away and some people don't. So I love how you said experientially, because we have a process that we put people through, and the bottom line of it is that each person will stand up and we will ask them the question, what does the relationship know that you don't know? We'll ask them the question, what does the relationship want here? It accesses a part of your brain. It doesn't access the problem solving, figuring out part of the brain. It accesses a different part of your brain and more the creative side of the brain. And when you just sit somebody down and ask them that, and they're sitting in a chair, it's one thing. But when you get them up and you say, like, I want you to be the relationship, feel it, feel what it's like to be in this relationship. And then you ask that question, people come up with pretty amazing answers. And oftentimes there's a lot of tears, and that's a good thing.
Yeah, because we are emotional beings. We are not, we think we're rational beings.
We have to stop thinking about that.
We are emotional beings first and rational beings second.
Yes.
So in order to make a difference in us, we need to touch our emotions. So that's awesome.
Yes.
That it brings, and the creativity part.
Yes. And imagination, right? Tapping into that whole creativity, imagination piece, which is really a different place when you're thinking about couples work.
Absolutely.
Yeah, and so we'll access that. I guess it would be the, I don't know which side of the brain, you could tell me more, but the more the creative side of the brain, right? And so one time we said, there's a pot of soup in front of you, and that's the relationship. What do you want to put in it to make it really good?
What are the ingredients that you need? So Howard and I aren't telling you what the ingredients are to put in the soup, because our values may be completely different than your values or somebody else's values. Everybody's ingredients are going to be different, right?
Right.
Yeah.
Yeah. Again, it's the idea of getting into the creative, getting into the emotional, and even into the mythic. Like poetry or music or things like that. Like, what do you want in the soup?
Yes.
Because then we get out of, well, what was your childhood like? Or what was this like in your past?
That,
to be honest, like you said, that's not where you start and that's not really where you want to go. And what's the problem? That's not the focus. What do you want?
That's exactly. What we do.
What do you want to create? And what is this, like you say, this relationship, what does it want? That's not an individual. That's a mythic thing.
Yes.
Totally.
So it allows people to get out of their head and even beyond their emotions into their creativity and into the mythic.
Yeah.
That's awesome.
Yeah. It is awesome.
It's beautiful.
It's awesome to witness.
Yeah. I'm sure.
Yeah.
Well, that's a good question. I mean, not always saying names or anything obviously like that, but what are some things you've witnessed that have happened? Like couples come in with this or that at first of where they feel they are now, and what have you seen happen?
You know, one of the really common themes is they come in feeling stuck. You know, they come in middle-aged, they've launched their kids, they're stuck. We don't know what we want to do next. We know that we don't want to be here, but we don't know if we want to move, if we want to travel, if we do move, where are we going to move to? Where are we going to travel to? And there's it's just beautiful to watch people go from sort of feeling like they can't do or go anywhere to all of a sudden, hey, we just booked a trip to Paris, or hey, we just bought a law firm in Illinois and we're moving to Illinois. Like, right?
Yeah, and what part of that process is that what we find is that couples, their capacity to dream together, and they go to the how. Mm. Way too soon. The how squelches creativity. It doesn't mean that at some point you're not going to come upon an idea and then need to figure it out. That's always true. But don't do it at the beginning. Play a game. Say, if anything was possible, what would you do? Where would you go? What would your life look like if you could wave a magic wand, right? And you're not allowed to say yabba.
It's a rule for us. When you're in that dream space, you do not say yeah, but you say instead yes and you continue to create that dream with yes and yes and yes and.
And it's not, you know, I could, there could be some critics say, well, that's Pollyannish and that's good and we got, you know, four kids and yada yada yada. It's not the point. The point is go through the dream process. Allow yourselves to dream together. Doing that, yes, you're going to get all kinds of crazy ideas that are impossible, but you're going to allow that one idea that's really possible to emerge that may not have emerged if you were just shooting down the ideas as you went along. It happens all the time.
Absolutely. Yeah. And there's a whole concept out there that if you put, you know, what was that called? The Secret?
Mm-hmm. Yes.
You know, if you don't put the ideas out there, the universe isn't going to support something because there's no energy behind it.
Exactly.
It's all about energy.
But if you put it out there,
yes,
the universe is going to take it and run with it.
Yes.
And the universe is here to support us and to bring us what we want, not what we don't want.
Yes.
What just happened recently with the universe?
Was it one of my clients?
Yeah.
Well, this is a really quick, this was an individual client who maternity leave. And she said, one of her big dreams is to make it easier in the company for people to transition back into maternity and from a maternity leave or a paternity leave. And to create a bridge back into the company. Cause it was kind of a messy process to navigate. So She said, well, maybe that's down the road. That might be too big for me. So I called her out on that. I said, no, pursue that. Have a conversation. See what happens. 2 weeks later, she comes back and she says, the head of learning and talent development came to her and said, do you want to be part of my, didn't even know about this. Came up to her and said, do you want to work for me? Because I know you're looking for a new role. And we're looking for somebody to help people transition more easily after they've had a baby.
Boom.
She didn't even ask anything.
She didn't even ask. So I said, oh, so that's now you're getting paid to do your dream. See how easy that was? No, of course it's not always that smooth, but that is a true story.
Oh, that absolutely exemplifies
what you're saying.
Absolutely. If people just even play with it, like you say, experiential. The more you just play with it and put it out there, the more you're just, at first, you're totally shocked by what happens like that. But the more you do it, the more you play with it for years and years and years, there aren't any things that make my head shake anymore.
Yeah.
Oh my God, how did that happen?
That's right.
It's just, I believe in my relationship with the universe. I believe in my relationship with all of my power animals, my support guides, my angels, my whatever you want to call it.
Yeah.
But they're here and supporting me, and they're here and supporting everyone in your own life and in your relationship. So just throw it out there. Ask for it. Put it out there, and you don't be shocked when you actually get what you're exactly. dreaming for.
Allow yourself to be tickled fancy. I love it.
So allow yourself to be surprised.
That's awesome. So what are some of the, well, let's do this one. What do you believe is important to a healthy, fulfilling relationship?
I feel like intentionality around the relationship. So paying attention to the relationship, not just to your partner, not just to yourself, but paying attention and nurturing and watering and loving on that relationship. I think that's one of the most important things. The other thing that I think is super important is finding joy with each other.
Joy isn't just for dessert. Joy isn't something that you're going to do after you do your to-do list.
Right.
Joy and celebration and fun. Mm-hmm. It's not a reward. It's essential to a relationship. And if you wait until you finish that to-do list, which you know is never going to get done,
right.
you will never have fun or joy, and your relationship will not be great, which is what we're after.
What you're saying, focus on the relationship and not as an individual on the other person or on yourself, because if we do that, then there's always something to fix.
Yeah.
There's always something to fix.
But if you focus on the relationship, it's the idea of how do we nurture this?
Yeah.
Yeah.
And how do we make sure there's joy in it?
Yeah.
And how do we make sure there's love in it and joy in it and empathy in it and all those kinds of things? That's awesome.
And fun.
And fun.
Relationships are fun in there. Relationships really like fun.
Oh, absolutely. Yes. And it's easy just to say to ourselves, well, I don't have time. I have to do this, 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 and this. But when you say, well, wait a minute, but what does the relationship need?
Exactly. And then it's some fun.
Then right? You don't feel guilty.
That's right.
Because you're giving the relationship what it needs.
I had somebody say that, actually. We had a client say that once. So it was like, oh, this was kind of freeing. Because it's like, it's just with the relationship.
Yeah, I have to get the relationship. It's not about me. It's about the relationship.
Right on.
Well, that's awesome.
Yeah.
So what are some of the things you see keeping couples from really connecting?
There are a lot of things. I have so many things going through my head right now. This is what I would say the bottom line of all of the things swirling through my head right now is be present with each other. So what keeps people from not connecting is not being present with each other. So to make it really real, when you're having dinner together, have dinner with your partner. Not with the person who you're having a tough time with at work that you just came from. Not with the meeting that you're worried about tomorrow. I think, you know, we do that, right? We have dinner with those people. And our partners
right across
from each other, right? Have dinner with them. Look into each other's eyes and connect. It doesn't, you know, the biggest thing we hear is there's no time. All of our suggestions generally don't involve extra time. You got to eat. You might as well eat with the person that you love rather than the person that you're pissed off at.
Yeah.
You know? Yeah. And so there's just a good practical place to start. Let it go.
There's a dose of mindfulness in that, right?
Yeah.
So let's just be present right here, right now. It's just you and I at the dinner table. Maybe the kids are there, maybe they're not, but my boss isn't with us. You know, the lady at the grocery store that was a jerk to me, she's not with us. You know, the person that cut me off today at the Four Corners, they're not with us. We're just here, right now.
What do you recommend to couples? Because, of course, you folks have worked together for a long time and in a business, and you've owned businesses together.
Yeah.
And my partner is around a lot around the business. And how do you, because I find myself doing this a lot, we're at dinner and it all of a sudden the conversation revolves all around the business.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
And so, like you're saying, it's easy for me because as a physician, I've learned a long time ago to leave the patients problems, because I hear people's problems and issues, of course, all day. That's what a physician does.
Yeah.
I learned a long time ago to walk out of the hospital or walk out of my office and boom, I'm done with that. That's not hard for me. What's hard for me or harder for some people, maybe when they're in a relationship with their partner and their business is involved, it's so easy to say, well, what about that? And did you do, did you take care of that? Or did you take, you know what I mean? Those things that they were going to take care of and you were going to take care of. What do you recommend for that situation?
So I would only recommend changing that if it's a problem for somebody. For somebody like Howard and I, it's just, we don't do a lot of separation. We're kind of like, it's all meshed for us. Mm. Except when we need it to be separate, we're very intentional about separating it. So, hey, listen, I really feel like I want to leave the business at home today. So let's have dinner and talk about this. So we're designing how we want to be together. We're designing our conversation before we even enter into conversation.
You know, a good ritual that we do that helps us get into connection in a deeper way is that we always light a candle or two during dinner and just talk about what we're grateful for. Mm. It just gets you. And so then if we end up talking about the business after that, which sometimes we like to talk about the business because we actually love our business.
Right.
But it has a different feel to it. It bringing in that sense of gratitude really opens up a space. It opens up a space for connection.
Yeah.
With yourself first and then with each other, you know, because we've all got it, you know, fairly decent in this culture, in this society, lots of us. And gratitude goes a long way towards bringing people together, and especially when they share it with each other.
Absolutely. Yeah, we have a practice in my family where we'll ask each other, what was your peach and what was your pit today? So that's fun. Yeah, fun to go through.
Yeah, it's just all of this stuff is intention, right? Mm-hmm. And then sometimes you bring in some ritual and some practice around it.
That's awesome.
Yeah.
Yeah. So can you give our listeners something to work on to help their relationships right now?
Yeah. The first thing that comes to mind is I'm going to give a statistic, and this is from John Gottman, who is like him and his wife have done 25 years of research on couples, and they're like one of the great authorities in the country on relationships. Anyway, he says that 69% of all issues between couples are unresolvable. Unresolvable, 69%. So, you know, 31% or however that math works out are resolvable. So there are things you can work on. But just recognize that, because we so often are on this hamster wheel of arguments that are the same arguments all the time. So what happens during those arguments sometimes is somebody will all of a sudden out of the blue say, oh, there's that bird you were talking about the other day. Like right in the middle of the argument, just talk about something else completely different. Okay, because subconsciously, there's a recognition that this argument's going nowhere, so we better focus on something else, okay? That's what Gottman calls, it's a thing, actually, when you do that, when you just quickly change the subject. It's called a repair bid, okay? It's a bid to repair the relationship in the moment. It's really important to recognize, so it could trigger you. It could say, we're in the middle of an argument. What are you talking about the bird that I saw yesterday, right? Well, if you can gain an awareness that 69% of all disagreements have no resolution, and recognize that sometimes it's important just to get off the hamster wheel. It's a very healthy thing to do for the relationship, because what he's also found is that couples that repeatedly reject the repair bids of the others are much more likely to separate. So it's this thing called the repair bid. And just, it's not, I don't think for your listeners, it's going to be an unfamiliar thing. We all kind of do it. And when you do it, just to bring that into awareness, hey, this is a thing. It has a name. And try to go with it. Mm-hmm. Try to go with it and see what might be different.
Recognize an effort's being made to repair what's going on.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. Because, you know, if it is one of the 31% of the things that can be fixed, well, it'll come back up and that's time for a different conversation. But 2/3 of the time, you're never going to get resolution anyway.
And that's so true. I mean, if you take any two people, whether they've lived together and been in love with each other or raised kids together, they're still two different people.
Yes.
With two different frames of references and two different value systems. I mean, obviously they mesh or they wouldn't stay together that long. But the point is, you're still two individuals.
Yes.
And you're never going to agree on everything in life. It's just not possible.
Not possible.
And the other thing is, remember, we're emotional beings first. So if our brain gets into a disagreement or an argument or a fight or whatever you want to call it, and you're in it, you have to shift. You have to walk away. to be able to get your rational mind to come back online.
Yes.
So what you're saying is throw a little twig in there. Yeah. And this, what did you call it?
A repair bid.
A repair bid. So it's like, wait a minute, let's get our brains and our emotional side to say, what? And shift back into a different,
shake it up,
a different part of the brain to get you out of that hamster wheel. So that's awesome.
Yes.
That's awesome. Yeah. Now you guys brought an article too that talks about relationship and how that plays into health and the idea of, you were talking about somewhere in England?
Well, this study was done by, I guess, Cigna Health, a doctor, Douglas Nemechek, and he was studying loneliness, and chronic loneliness has actually now been characterized as a chronic illness. To the extent that in Britain, Theresa May appointed a minister of loneliness.
Wow.
A minister of loneliness.
This study says that loneliness has the same impact on mortality as smoking 15 cigarettes per day.
Wow.
It's powerful.
Yeah, that's very powerful.
So when we say relationships matter for health, relationships matter.
Yeah, and I was sharing with you folks before we started that there have been definitive research-based studies, scientific research studies on the immune system. And they study people that are alone majority of their time versus people that are not. And they tested their high sensitivity C-reactive protein, which is a marker of inflammation, and other immune markers for inflammation. And there was a scientifically, statistically significant increase in folks that spend more of their time alone or are lonely.
Yes.
So this is amazing.
Yeah.
Yeah.
And the idea that we are social beings.
Yes.
We are meant to be in social settings.
We're hungry for connection.
We're wired for connection.
Oh,
both.
Absolutely.
Yes.
Yeah. And that's why we're moving. And one thing within the broken medical system is that insurance is actually supporting the concept of group visits.
Really?
And there are, yes. And if your insurance fits, like Medicare fits really well, Medicaid fits very, very well. Someone with a private insurance or a commercial insurance where they have to pay a copay every time and you have a high deductible, it maybe not work so well. Mm-hmm. So we actually do group visits where if your insurance fits, you can use it. If it doesn't fit, we determine a flat fee that someone's reasonable. But the idea is we are seeing unbelievable improvements in people's ability to be successful in the goals they're setting because they're coming in, they're interacting with each other, they're learning from each other. They're also, of course, learning from the health coach and myself, but we're part of the group.
Yeah.
Yes. And then everybody's getting fed.
Yeah. Love it. Boy, is that wonderful story. That's great.
Yeah. So it's really neat. So I guess my point is that many systems out there are starting to realize, from the government to the medical system, is starting to realize and allow ways within the system for social interaction and relationship to take place better, which is fantastic.
Amen.
So tell folks about Vanguard Coaching and how do they find you and how do they get in touch with you?
Yeah. Well, we have a website,
www.vanguardcoaching.life.
LIFE on the end. You can email Howard at vanguardcoaching.life. You can call 603-986-0153. And we love to talk about this stuff. So even if you just want to chat about something interesting you heard, give me a call.
That's great. That's awesome. Well, thanks for coming, guys. The last question I love to ask all my guests is, what is your secret to living a healthy life? So what would each of you say is your individual secret? And then maybe even what would you say is the secret for your guys' relationship healthy life?
Boy, that's a lot of secrets.
I'm asking for all the secrets today, guys.
So I just want to recognize that when you ask that question, that's a pretty intimate question, right? Like, I felt myself getting emotional thinking about that, just saying, because we are emotional beings. Right. A healthy life for me is finding joy in every day. Awesome. Yeah. And I find that in many different ways, but setting the intention to be joyful as often as I can be.
Awesome.
Yeah.
So yes to that. And I would throw in self-compassion. I will own this as well, are really hard on ourselves. It doesn't serve anyone. It doesn't serve us. It doesn't serve the people we care about. It's all about old beliefs and old patterns. So if you decide that you want to take off in the middle of the day and go do something fun, go do it. Mm. Because it's essential to a healthy life.
Mm, absolutely.
Yeah.
And then what would you say?
Couples
are asking for all their secrets today. What would you guys say is the one major secret that your relationship keeps the relationship healthy?
What keeps us healthy, Mr. Stanton?
I think there's this leadership concept that we learned in this program that we took called STAY, STAY, which means sometimes it gets really messy and sometimes you just want to run away and hide. But sometimes you just want to lash out in anger. And neither of those is staying. So to me, if you can stay as present as you can, you know, emotions come up, breathe and be with the other person. And don't run away. And running away takes all different kinds of forms. It can be literally running away and shutting down and just sitting there and staring at the
checking
other person
out,
and not saying anything. Be lashing out in anger. So if you can find a space to take a deep breath and just stay and just name what you're going through. Hey, I'm feeling really angry right now. Hey, I'm feeling really confused. Hey, I don't know what to say right now. Anything's okay. Just try to stay in connection if you can. That doesn't mean that there's not times that getting up and taking a break, as you mentioned earlier, isn't the thing to do, right? But we can get into habits of, it starts feeling sticky, I'm going to run. Mm. The relationship's not going to move forward if you stay in that old habit. Yeah.
Stay.
And the idea is that you're focusing on the relationship when you stay.
Yeah.
It's not focusing necessarily on the other person you might be angry with.
Yes.
That you're staying with. You're staying with the relationship.
Exactly.
Yes. And then you're able to get above it.
Yeah, totally.
Yes.
That's awesome.
Yes.
And when you get above it, you shift your perspective, right? So it's not all about me. It then becomes what's in best service to the relationship. So, yeah.
Yeah.
Well, that's awesome, guys. So thank you so much for coming on.
Thank you.
This is one of the topics that you don't talk about every day. Even though we're all in them every day, every moment of every day. And then, of course, we have our couples. You know, if you're in a couple and you have a loved one that you cherish so much, why don't we focus on it more?
Yeah. That's why we do what we do.
That's all. So relationships matter, guys.
Yes, they do.
Yes, they do.
Make sure you check out vanguardcoaching.life.
Yep, www.vanguardcoaching.life.
And there's a page, there's a couples coaching page there to click on. Get there, because that'll get you right to what we're talking about here.
Awesome. Yeah. Well, thanks, guys.
Thank you.
You coming on.
Thank you. It's been great.
So, I hope this podcast has helped empower you on your journey to restore and optimize your health. And if you would like more information, my clinic is called Discover Health Functional Medicine Center, and our website is discoverhealthfmc.com. On our website is a great deal more information educationally, as well as information about our services, and also an opportunity to schedule a 30-minute free consultation with one of my team. During this 30-minute free consultation, you can get to know us, we can get to know you, you can learn about our services, and see if it would be a fit for you to improve your journey toward restoring and optimizing your health. Another option is to go to our Facebook page. Again, that's Discover Health Functional Medicine Center. And also to join our Facebook group. Our Facebook group is filled and creating a community of people just like you that you can talk with and interact with about your questions. You can also ask us your most burning questions. So please go to my website, discoverhealthfmc.com, or join our Facebook group at Discover Health Functional Medicine Center. And let's work together on our journeys to restore and optimize health.